The way you consume and share news today is largely rooted in social media outlets, a reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online for our daily social media. And we're joined by Erica in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
All right, let's get started. Now, when I saw the headline, I thought, but kids, do they ever like kimchi? In our generation, in generations that came before us, is an acquired taste that takes maybe more time, maybe reach adulthood to start appreciating.
You think so?
I don't know. I thought so.
I think kids, when you're kids, you don't really have a real distinct preference for food because you don't have as much experience as compared to, you know,
adults
or even teenagers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when you're a kid, you just eat what your parents feed you.
Really?
Right.
Clearly, you're a much more obedient child, no?
I ate everything. I devoured everything. I ate with gusto.
Really? Yep. I was a very picky eater.
Oh, I see. No, there was nothing I could not eat as a child. Right.
Okay, so this is the premise to today's survey results that may indicate something different or something of the same. You make sense of it yourself. Survey reveals that kids are increasingly reluctant to try kimchi.
Yeah, so a recent survey shows that 4 out of 10 households have kids who don't eat kimchi. Other key insights from the same survey show that families that buy kimchi from the store are more common than families who make kimchi at home. Most consumers mention that they would appreciate labels indicating the spiciness level of kimchi and also the degree of fermentation on store-bought kimchi. Now, this survey is the 2023 Kimchi Industry Status Analysis Report that was conducted by the Korea Agro-Fisheries and Food Trade Corporation. And it surveyed 3,183 households. And it showed that 41%, or 40.9%, cited their children as family members who do not eat kimchi at all at home. Notably, the percentage of responses that mention children has been increasing every year, meaning that every year the number of children who don't eat kimchi is on the rise from 32% in 2020 to 41% in 2022.
And what we want to make sense of is, did the survey try to understand why households eat less kimchi or eat no kimchi at all?
Well, we can guess the top reason, right? Did you eat kimchi growing up? Did you like it?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Yeah. I have no recollection,
remember?
Which means I probably didn't.
Okay.
I mean, I know my brother absolutely didn't.
No, yeah. He didn't.
But he's much, much, much more American than I ever was.
We always had kimchi on the table, even if we were living abroad.
Yeah.
Like 80s. Living in Sri Lanka in the 80s, there was kimchi on the table.
So many questions.
I don't know how. Maybe my mom probably made it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we did have Korean food ingredients. We had like these huge like freezers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was certainly more privileged in that sense. There were Korean markets all over California. There was kimchi always on the table.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure it was my first pick though.
So the number one reason that kids don't eat kimchi these days is they don't like spicy food.
Okay.
And that answer comprised 30.8%. 16.6% said they dislike the smell of kimchi. I mean, kimchi can be pretty pungent.
Yeah, it's fermented.
Some said they found kimchi to be tasteless, which I don't understand because it's a flavor bomb.
It's fermented.
And then, you know, more and more people these days, they're concerned about their health and what they consume. And there were a lot of concerns that kimchi contained too much sodium. 14.1% said, they don't eat kimchi because of the high sodium content.
That's fair. I mean, too much of a good thing too, huh?
Right. And 43% of the respondents said their household's kimchi consumption is on the decrease. Now, when it comes to sourcing or buying kimchi, 31% said they buy store-bought pre-made kimchi. 21% said they get it from their parents or their siblings.
Lucky.
Yep, exactly. 25% said they make it at home themselves, which is still quite a high number. You know, that's like a quarter of the population. And 15% said they receive it from relatives or friends.
Okay, again, lucky. Yeah. Say your thank yous because if you tried ever making kimchi at home in large batches, batches.
Oh, it's
you
it's
know
work.
How laborious yep. it is. But I've got to say, I tried making a pakimchi or with nice. Green onions last yeah. week, and that's like the easiest one you
it's
can try.
Easy. It's and really you simple. Know, pakimchi has sort of like been a trend these days. Yeah. A lot of celebrities like yeah. showing, you know, yeah. sharing their recipes, like Lee Young-ja.
Yes, some raise their own green onions, yep. some make their
that's
own.
That's right.
Mine's not fancy at all. It requires like four ingredients.
I love pakimchi.
It's like
which
the
is green onion kimchi.
Yes, yeah. and who doesn't like green onion? Mm. I don't know. Maybe the kids won't like it. All right, I wonder if consumers often check the origin of the ingredients in kimchi.
Yeah, you know what? More and more people do, it seems. Okay. 72% of the respondents said that when they eat kimchi at restaurants or, you know, cafeterias or just basically eating out, mm. they check the origin of the main ingredients in the kimchi because, you know...
It's made easier. It's on the posters.
Exactly. Restaurants are required to sort of like label them. There's a strong call for the introduction of a labeling system mm-hmm. that indicates, like I mentioned before, the spiciness level. Mm-hmm. 83.4% said they were in favor mm. of a labeling system that indicates a spiciness. 90% said they believe there should be labels indicating just how ripe kimchi is
Ooh.
Or the degree of fermentation because, you know, some people like it super ripe and some people, they like it fresh.
I like it fresh.
You like it fresh?
Actually, I like the entire spectrum. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Me too.
It changes your
It depends
requirements.
What you're eating that kimchi with, right?
See, clearly the studio is biased. We both like kimchi of all fermented
yes.
degree. You're right. I'm not a big, like, you know, cook at home, mm. but I understand that depending on how ripe it is, its usage changes.
Right.
And that's half the fun, isn't it? It's funny because that would be really helpful. Indicate, you know, how ripe the kimchi is.
Yeah.
I wish they would do that for avocados too. That's really
You know,
difficult.
Some of the kimchi some of the kimchi brands actually do that. You
really?
Know, there's a little thing at the bottom mm-hmm. of the package that indicates like how old a kimchi is,
okay.
like when it was made.
Okay, that's
right,
helpful.
Whether it's sour or it's fresh.
Okay, yep. okay. All right, so we'll leave it there for now. One of our listeners chimed in because I thought this might be part of other people's childhood too. JY Choi saying, I had to wash my kimchi with water. I always had a shallow plate with some water so I can wash off the red pepper.
You know, that's a familiar story for, I think, many kids growing up.
I think
up.
So,
yeah.
because, yeah, that tastes great too. And by the way, I still do that to make like another yeah. side dish mm-hmm. with like a little bit of sesame oil.
Yeah, that's
sugar.
Fantastic.
It's delicious.
With meat.
I'm hungry. Was that the point
Always.
Of the survey? The point of the survey is children are less inclined to try yep. kimchi. All right, on to our second buzzword this morning. It feels familiar because just days ago, we came across something quite similar. Mm. A second royal photo controversy emerges over digital alterations.
You know, I've been sort of like, I had this like sort of inner conflict. Should I talk about the story or not? Because, you know, the story of the royal family. It's been on the news for a while now, for weeks on end.
And you're kind of, you know, evading it, weren't you? Because
yeah,
it feels gossipy.
It feels gossipy,
yeah.
right? And we don't know what's going on. But after the second photo was confirmed to have been digitally doctored, I guess I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
So this photo is not new, actually. It was released, was it last year? Mm. It was a photo of Queen Elizabeth II before she passed away. She surrounded her like flanked by her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. Mm. And Getty Images noted that this photo was digitally enhanced. The photo was actually taken by Kate Middleton and shared by the Kensington Palace. And a recent close examination of the photo by CNN showed alterations in a number of areas. It's not just one, it's several. Actually, I think 19 in total, I counted.
Okay, so yep. the news, like you alluded to, comes just days after a recent controversy over a Mother's Day photo
yep.
of Catherine and her children reportedly taken by Prince William, which was discovered to be edited as well. And it was supposed to look kind of natural, right?
Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, her and her three children
yeah.
looking
yeah.
happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was supposed to sort of like calm down all these like rumors. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened to her? Is she okay?
Health scare.
But then that photo, that single photo, it sparked more controversy because, you know, people discovered, you know, you can even see it with your bare eyes.
Yeah.
After you find out
yeah.
That, you know, that the photo had been digitally altered.
They say it's in the hands. Look
yes.
for the hands. Does it look awkward in some places?
Yeah.
Things like that.
Anyways, in response to the backlash of the photo of her and her three children that William took, Kate apologized immediately. And she said that, you know, she's an amateur photographer. And like many people, she is into photo editing. She did not clarify the reasons as to why she altered the photo The revelations of the second modified royal photo raised further questions about Kate, and it could potentially damage the royals' ties with major news and photography agencies. Mm. You know, and it's in a time where her health and activities have been under such close watch. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, just a few days ago, Prince William and Kate were seen at a farm store near their residence. They were seen just walking. You know, William had a cap on, okay. And Kate, you know, she looked healthy.
Okay,
as
so
far
she's
as I could tell,
right?
Yeah.
I guess the back and forth around just images, yep, and the image that the royal family wants to portray in the past, utilizing media. I think there's just a lot of hairy parts to it that resurfaces every time. Yep. Any photo comes out of the royal family.
Now that we're living in the age of artificial intelligence, yes, people are even more suspicious.
Yeah. We want to be able to... I told you, it's hard to tell apart the edited and the non-edited, the fake from the absolutely real. But anyway, for now, this does look edited, right? And she confirmed that it was. She apologized. We try to move on, only to come across another set of photos. Now, the credibility, I think this is a big question of the royal family, has hit rock bottom with the public, as even the photo of them out and about has raised all kinds of conspiracy theories.
Yes. Among the conspiracy theories is this claim that Kate in the photo is the princess's body double.
Oh, wow.
You know, so a photo of her and her husband walking around.
It's not
saying
real.
That's not Kate. Doesn't look like her. Oh. It's a body double. And these theories have been spreading like wildfire on social media. It's been seen by millions and millions of social media users.
So it's hard for us to kind of brush it off, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I think a lot of people are saying that the situation is embarrassing for the royal family. Mm. But it also raises their credibility as image distributors, right? Mm-mm-mm. And it risks their relationship with established agencies like Getty Images, which has closely worked with Kensington Palace for many years. And I a lot of experts are saying that the royal family has sort of lost their grip on how this narrative is going. They've lost control, basically.
Ah, yeah. That's probably the bigger takeaway.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wait and see. The internet will not rest.
No.
We had to cover it. And our final buzzword this morning, South Korea launches cultural arts pass for 19-year-olds to boost engagement with performances, exhibitions, maybe make it more affordable.
Yeah. Countries in Europe have done this, and I think this is really fantastic. So starting on March 28th, people born in the year 2005 living in South Korea can receive up to 150,000 won, roughly $125 per person, to attend performances and exhibitions.
I gotta say, that's a pretty generous sum.
Exactly. The announcement was made on Wednesday, just yesterday, by the Ministry of Culture, Sports and Tourism, together with the Korea Arts Council. Based on what they announced, around 160,000 19-year-olds across the country are going to be eligible for the Youth Culture Arts Pass, which can be used to attend performances and all kinds of exhibitions. And this initiative has been launched for the first time this year.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's available to all applicants, regardless of their income. The thing is, you know, not everyone's going to get it. It's going to be issued on a first-come, first-served basis, so you have to be fast. It's just going to be based on an allocated number of youths in each of the 17 regions across the country.
Okay, so let's get to it fast. How do people apply?
Yeah, so the pass, the applications are currently open through websites and mobile applications of partner ticketing agencies, including Interpark and Yes24.
That's easy.
Yep. Applicants have to go through a verification process for age and residency, and once everything is verified, points are going to be awarded so they can book performances and exhibition tickets.
Okay, so how much are we talking about?
Yeah, so initially they're going to get 100,000 won in points from the national budget credited to their accounts right away, and an additional 50,000 won in points from local government funds are going to be allocated after secure an approval of the supplementary budget within the first half of this year.
Okay, so you said that they can take those credits and use it for performances and exhibitions?
Yeah, cultural events, musicals, classical concerts, plays, exhibitions until December 31st of this year.
And you said, you know, different parts of Europe have already implemented something
including
similar.
Including France, Germany, and Spain. They have implemented similar initiatives to foster cultural engagement among the younger generation.
And it's turning out to be a success.
That's right.
So we're doing it right here in Korea for the very first time. Thank you so much, Erica.
Pleasure. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.